All right, everybody, welcome to the Barca Blaugranas podcast. My name is Josh. I am joined by our buddy Emil Avanesi. And Emil, how are we doing today?
I'm good, man. Welcome from, hello from the south of Spain.
Yeah, and you know, we're dealing with hotel Wi-Fi here, so fingers crossed we're not going to have any problems today. But yeah, today's an interesting day in Barcelona land. We'll talk about the Europa League draw later, but I think kind of the biggest story of the last week is, of course, Piqué's surprise announcement. Were you shocked that he was randomly going to retire in 3 days?
I mean, yes. I mean, on the whole, yes, because, you know, I figured just because he's such a venerated figure and he's, you know, he's accomplished so much and whatever, like his family and just his own history is just so tied to Barca. I thought that he would see out the season, and particularly because, you know, as poorly as things went in the Champions League, I mean, this Barca team genuinely has the look of a team that could win the league, and, you know, to kind of maybe put together a really nice, you know, league run, or ideally a league title, maybe a nice Copa del Rey run, that kind of thing. I thought he would kind of stick around for that. Excuse me. And then just kind of ride off into the sunset the way, you know, Xavi, Iniesta, those guys did. But on the other side, I mean, his, especially in the last few weeks, his, his decline or his shortcomings have been so kind of prevalent and significant. And particularly against, I believe it was it the second leg against Inter, where, I mean, it was just, it was grim, you know? I mean, it just, he literally was the cause, or, you know, the, he was absolutely just asleep at the wheel for one of their goals. And, you know, I mean, I think it's, he was never a sort of a hyper athlete type of player. So I think he has all the savvy and the know-how, but I think the physical tools have eroded enough where I don't know that any amount of savvy kind of makes up for that. Because in the way, the same way, like Sergio Busquets was never a, you know, blazing fast or, you know, anything like that. Like he was never, you'd never consider him like just this insane specimen or athlete, but he was a good enough athlete who is a genius at the game. He has, you see his erosion too, but he still has enough of his physical gifts to then allow his smarts and savvy to carry him the rest of the way to, you know, solid or excellent performances.
Yeah, the main reason that I was surprised was that, you know, not so much like, oh, let's finish the season on a high note, there's still a chance for some more silverware for Piqué. It's more so like Barcelona just need bodies in defense at this point. Like they're playing Marcus Alonso at center back. And so that's kind of the thing where I was like, I know he was bad, and obviously he's self-aware enough to know he was bad. Xavi thought he was bad, obviously, because he's slotting Alonso in at center back. But I mean, especially post World Cup, like Araujo seems like he's going with Uruguay and he might get hurt again. And just the depth they have isn't there. And so if I'm him, if I'm Piqué, I'm thinking, yeah, I might suck, but like, I'm still probably going to get minutes.
Right. And I mean, to your point, you actually bring up a really good point. I mean, look, Xavi clearly had enough issues with Piqué's, whatever, his form or just the status of his game at this point, that like Piqué was only playing because he was the, what, like fifth or sixth choice center back. He's playing because they're like the walking wounded back there. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of a tug of war ego wise, because on the one hand you could be like, there's the pride and ego bit where you're like, you know, the club needs me and I can heroically kind of soldier on and everything like that. But I think there's also the other part of the ego where, whether he's self-aware or, I mean, he's clearly self-aware enough to realize that like this isn't working anymore. You know what I mean? He's not a world-class center back And when there's a genuine top, you know, top tier attacker running at him, there's only so much he can do. He's still a good, I still think he's a good defender kind of in a phone booth. You know, like in those tight spaces and just winning the ball and poking it loose, things like that. I think he's still excellent at that, but I think the deficiency just in keeping up with the pace and power of some of the top attackers now, I just don't think he has it. And I can understand, because if he kind of looks forward and he's like, okay, I can keep doing this and sort of try to be the valiant hero who's trying to save this thing. But it would probably be tough to be like, oh my God, I have to take 6 months of just getting worked over by, you know, 23-year-olds who are just tireless and stronger and, you know, whatever. And, you know, whatever, just hungry and trying to make a name at my expense.
Yeah, it seems, and I know you'll appreciate this as a American football fan as well, but I was thinking yesterday, and I'm sure this point's been made, the similarities between him and Tom Brady are kind of strange at this point, like two declining physical players going through some personal life trauma. On one hand, PK realizes it's time to
hang it up. With their celebrity, with their celebrity paramours.
Yeah, and Tom Brady's still hanging on for dear life. But to kind of put a bow on PK, yeah. What's the thing that when you think of Gerard Piqué in 20 years, what are you going to think about?
The funny thing is, I don't even know if it's like one thing necessarily, but I remember him just sort of being the, I mean, particularly post Puyol. If you think of there's kind of that core five, you know, of the, if you exclude Puyol, of, you know, Messi, Xavi, Iniesta, Piqué, and Busquets. And while each of, you know, Busquets in particular has, you know, a long track record of agitating opponents and things like that, none of the other four were particularly kind of demonstrative or particularly vocal or anything like that. And Piqué was kind of the, I don't know, he was the grinning face and he was the voice of those teams, the sort of the, particularly the post Guardiola Barca teams. I don't know that he was ever the best player. I don't even know that he was, I wonder even, he was obviously an excellent to great defender. I don't know where he falls sort of on the, you know, on any sort of like Pantheon or rankings list or whatever, but I do think he meant more. He meant an immense amount to Barca. And I always see him as the kind of the emotional and spiritual counterweight to Sergio Ramos from that era. And I think it's that. I think he was just sort of, he was a little bit of the, like the mischievous spirit of the team post, you know, post Ronaldinho, post like, you know, post kind of anybody that spoke out and, you know, did anything kind of vocal or even remotely kind of inflammatory or controversial. You know what I mean? Like he agitated Espanol fans. He just invariably would, you know, piss off Real Madrid fans. And he was one of the only guys to consistently do that and also have the weight and the gravitas to kind of do it and be taken seriously doing it.
No, 100%. Like when I think about him, I feel like I agree with you. I'm not going to think about a specific moment. I'm not going to think about a specific unpitched talent he had. I'm just going to think of, he was kind of the stereotypical perfect guy to be the captain of Barcelona in the period he was. He was vocal, just vocal enough to kind of cover for the quiet nature of Messi and Iniesta. And he was calm enough to kind of cover for the Dani Alveses of the group, right? He was the perfect counterweight to everything, like you said.
Yeah. And that is, look, I mean, he was the right guy for the right team. And because there, you know, I think you and I have talked about it. And, you know, I don't think I'm coming clean because I think I've already come clean on this. I'm like, I am an unabashed sort of closet Sergio Ramos, you know, I don't know if fan is the word, but, you know, appreciator or, you know, like I don't dislike Sergio Ramos. he did his thing in a very different way from how Piqué did it for Barca. And I think they each, you know, embodied the ethos of their respective clubs in a pretty perfect way.
100%. Let's move on from PK. Let's talk about the European draw for Barcelona. It couldn't have been more hilarious and perfect. I think on paper, like, Barcelona should win this, but it's Barcelona and it's Manchester United. How excited are you for this? Because this, at least, like, this is just, it's hilarious that it's happening in the Europa League, but it's still just incredible.
It's the most kind of 2022 matchup you could possibly get. And just, you know, like, it's the, I don't know, like, the life comes at you fast, Darby. Like, just, you know, like, yeah, like, I'm simultaneously super excited for it because I do think Barca should win. I think they are the better team. And even of the three, kind of the three most damaging Champions League group stage results that they endured, so being the first leg against, you know, or the first matchup with Bayern, and then the two against Inter, on balance, I think Barca was the better team, you know, across those three matches. I mean, ridiculously, you know, they lost, you know, by an aggregate of six to three, but they were the better, like, they could have come through that thing. So if they can still carry that over, they are the better team. They're the more coherent team. They should be good enough to do this. But, like, there's enough on that Man United team to exploit the defensive lapses that occur with Barca. You know what I mean?
No, and I, you know, we're both Barcelona supporters. I'm fine with any sort of result because any of it creates hilarious talking points for any purpose. Barcelona should 100% win, but here's the thing. If they do or they don't, it really doesn't matter because it's just the beginning stages. And, like, they looked good in the Europa League last year, but if they win the Europa League title, everyone's going to be happy for 2 seconds, then remember what they're doing. I want to talk about the Champions League. I know Barcelona aren't in it, and I'm going to give you the chance to talk about one of the matchups. You can talk about Liverpool-Real Madrid, Dortmund-Chelsea, or PSG-Bayern. Which is your favorite, and why do you want to talk about it?
Okay, Liverpool-Madrid, Dortmund-Chelsea, PSG-Bayern. I mean, I feel like I'm going to stay true to my brand and just go with kind of backhanded compliments at PSG, and I'm going to go PSG Bayern because I feel like this is sort of, in all sorts of ways, I think in classic fashion, if you are a PSG fan or, you know, PSG, you probably look at this matchup and you figure, okay, Bayern Munich is obviously still Bayern Munich. Like, they're great. They're deep. They're talented. You know, they're both young and experienced. Like, they're kind of the total package. They're Bayern Munich. But this also presumably might be one of the kind of more gettable Bayern Munich teams of, you know, perhaps the last, you know, couple of vintages. And so, not to mention the fact that, you know, once PSG finally did claw their way to a Champions League final, Bayern Munich and, you know, and I always think, whenever I say Bayern Munich and I think of kind of the downside of losing to Bayern Munich, I just think of, like, Thomas Müller's grinning face. And, like, they were there to do that to them. And so this, ideally, if you're PSG, is your moment to exact that revenge. And, you know, ideally sort of catapult yourself to that Champions League glory that you feel like you've purchased. And, like, so, but, you know, it's not going to go like that. And, like, that's kind of what I love about it. I continue to unabashedly want Messi to be the best player on planet Earth, but, like, I don't care really about Neymar. I don't care about Mbappe or anything. I would love for Messi to score a brace in both matches, but for PSG to sort of go out and it's going to be hilarious too. Like, they're not going to lose like a normal game. Like, they're not going to lose a 2-1 game where you're like, oh man, you know, both teams played hard. It's going to be something obscene. And I'm on board for it. I don't believe in the occult. I don't believe in curses and stuff like that. Except when you get to like PSG and Man City in the Champions League, like I'm listening at that point.
And here's, I have an addition, like speaking of a curse, I was very kind of up, you know, like thinking just, you know, who do I like in this? PSG are better on paper, Bayern have the history. And then I saw, as you mentioned, speaking of the grin, Thomas Müller posted a video after the draw was announced. I didn't listen to the audio, but I just saw his smiling face talking for a minute and a half into his camera. And I was like, it's over. Anytime he does this, they win. I don't know what he's saying. He could be saying gobbledygook for all it matters. But the fact that he was happy and he thought it was hilarious for some reason, it's over.
Look, I mean, Bayern Munich, and there are a lot of, excuse me. I said this during last year's ridiculous Champions League run that Real Madrid had. And look, it applies to them, but there are a handful of, you know, major European clubs that it applies to. But with Bayern Munich, as much as any team, and Thomas Müller, as much or more than any player I can think of, the one feeling I get is like the house always wins. You know, like they just, this is what happens. Like Thomas Müller is not only is Thomas Müller not here to suffer indignities at anyone's hands, like it's like someone gave him inside information that like he will not suffer indignities at anyone's hands, and he acts accordingly.
I'm gonna switch topics again on you. It's been 365 days since Xavi was appointed manager of Barcelona. I'm not gonna ask you to give him a grade. Yep. I'm not gonna ask you to give him a rating. Just tell me what your perception has been of Xavi 1 year in.
I mean, generally, like, I'd say very positive. You know, he's brought us, like, there is a certain, and the funny thing is, like, you know, we say stability, and like, and I know he's the most kind of animated and fired up manager that they've had on the touchline, you know, probably of the last several, you know, and but I feel like he grounds the club in a certain sense of expectation and status that I feel like his last few predecessors just simply couldn't. You know, there have been certain cases where, you know, whatever, you can nitpick individual decisions and things like that. Like, I would have loved to see him start Ansu Fati the week of, ideally for both, but at least for one of that week of the Inter Milan Real Madrid game, like, you know, a few weeks ago. But on the whole, I mean, I think he's gotten this to be a very coherent team, if nothing else. I mean, if you go back like those 365 days, like how grim and dark were the conversations that we were having then? I mean, it was just like existential crisis after existential crisis. And yeah, things have gone wrong. You know what I mean? Like Barca never mounted a league challenge last year, crashed out of the Champions League, crashed out of the Europa. And then this year, Champions League's been. So yeah, like it's not sort of a Pollyanna-ish idealistic thought, but as much as anything, I think like it looks like a good team. Like this looks like one of the better teams in Europe again, if not the, you know, top three, top four. And from where we were exactly a year ago, and I understand they spent an absolute boatload of money over the summer to bring in a load of new players. But the thing is, he's made that kind of work. And, you know, he's made his choices. He's made the difficult calls. He put Piqué and Alba on the back burner until he absolutely needed to break glass and just get warm bodies out there. I don't know. I think it's good. I think he's, you know, there are young players. I mean, how great has Gavi been, you know, under Xavi? Balde has been fantastic. He was able to integrate, and, you know, credit goes to the players themselves, but, you know, Lewandowski came in and he's been, by all accounts, I mean, not only he's been fantastic in the league, and by all accounts, it looks like the team, you know, the players love him, even though he was basically the only player who's come in and been a in ink starter from day one. You know, and I mean, man, you think of, like, he's navigated the Frankie de Jong situation too. And I don't know. I think he's done a really good job, and he came in under just bleak, bleak circumstances. And for us to have kind of optimism and for this to be a decent shout, this team to be a decent shout to win the league, it's pretty good.
100% agree. I think this is the last time I'm going to talk to you before the World Cup starts. We'll probably talk during the World Cup, but heading into it, I can ask you who you think is going to win. Who are three teams that you are just so excited to watch in the World Cup?
It's so funny. My wife actually asked me this because we walked past a store that was, you know, they had all the Spanish, just a bunch of like Spain shirts and stuff. And so she asked, the two things she asked, she's like, so are we rooting for Spain? and also she asked me who I thought was going to win. I mean, I don't want to go too chalk, but I mean, I think it's, I mean, you probably have to say France, Belgium. France, Belgium, Brazil, I guess. But I think there's a second tier of sort of Spain, England, Argentina. I'm trying to think who I'm leaving out.
Probably Portugal, I guess.
The thing is, I'm not really buying Portugal. Not that they're bad. I don't think they're going to be like an abject disaster, but I don't think they're good enough to sort of battle their way through all of those teams. So, I mean, I would probably say one of those six will win. And I know like Senegal's good, like of the African teams. And so, I mean, I would kind of put them in that second tier, but I think the top three is France, Belgium, Brazil, probably.
Yeah. I'm kind of the opinion that with Lukaku hurt, I'm not confident Belgium's there anymore. I think it's Brazil and France and then everybody else, in my opinion. But
yeah. If I had to wager, those would be the two teams I'd bet on first.
All right. Before we head out, tell us what you're working on. I know you probably have a 10,000 word PK draft saved in a Word doc somewhere secret, but tell us what you're working on.
I don't at the moment, actually. So these days, it's pretty on brand. It's gotten a little more. So these days I'm actually writing very regularly for the website is actually called bonus.com, and I'm doing a lot of sort of casino and gaming news reporting and news stories and stuff like that. And then in addition, I'm essentially just doing a lot of the, Urban Pitch and the various other outlets, just doing the regular kind of football writing. I haven't done any big World Cup stuff. Largely because I didn't feel like just doing a standard World Cup preview, and I didn't know how else to make it particularly interesting. No, I'm actually glad the PK thing was funny because I didn't have, it was something I thought about sitting down to write about, but then as I thought about it, I couldn't really think about what it was that I wanted to actually say about PK. So I think the conversation that you and I had, I don't even know if I'm going to sit down and write about it, but it was probably the most coherent and straight to the point kind of summation of my thoughts on Gerard PK that I think I could give.
Yeah, I mean, here's the pitch. You title it, "Oh, Captain, My Captain, Why Gerard PK was the Perfect Captain for the 2010s for Barcelona." There you go.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, I could probably sell that. Yeah.
Yeah, why not? All right. As always, you guys can check out Emil at Hardwood Hype on Twitter for all of his hot takes and great content. And as always, Emil, thank you for joining us. Enjoy your vacation.
Man, thank you so much. Have a good one.